Blog Talk Radio.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff.
Welcome to the Prosperity Power Hour here on the Lifescape Radio Network. My name is Mary Kailstow, and I'm your host. For each week, we bring you entrepreneurs, authors, and other visionaries speaking on the topics of prosperity and abundance. Not only will they talk about that in their own lives, but they'll also provide helpful information so you can work towards bringing greater prosperity to your own life as well. That's what we do here on the Prosperity Power Hour. You can learn more about my work at prosperityvortex.com because my job is to help you stay in the flow. And, of course, you can learn about Lifescape Radio at lifescaperadio.com and see all the great hosts and shows that we have for you every week. So let's go ahead and get started with this week's guest. Welcome to the Prosperity Power Hour. Today I am chatting with Sam Shelley, the author of I Don't Dwell, and I am looking forward to diving into the information that he provides within this book. So welcome. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Mary. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
You're very welcome. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and about the book?
Sure. I can talk about my story. It's so when I was in my 20s, I was diagnosed with bipolar. When I was diagnosed with bipolar, I was very suicidal, very depressed, was hospitalized a few times, nearly took my life once. Then by the time I was in my 30s, I found myself back in the hospital again. But this time I could barely see, could barely swallow, I couldn't walk, had a lot of difficulties. Then when I was in the hospital, after a few weeks, they finally diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And so I just had a lot of health challenges. So by the time I was 40, I had 5 incurable diseases, a box full of medicine, and a cane. Then one day, after meditation, I simply heard a voice say, "Perfect spirit." I'm like, that's it. Spirit is whole. It's body and mind that are damaged. And I can't explain it. I simply knew that all was well. All sense of fear about my health just dropped away. And that was it for me. I went into spontaneous remission that day, and over the course of 18 months, I recovered the body and mind and took myself off all of my medication, which led me to my book because people were looking at me and it's like, who is this person? Because before I was a disabled man. Now I'm running around without a cane. I'm full of life, full of vigor. So people were constantly asking me, like, how'd you do it? How'd you transform yourself? So that's when I wrote the book, I Don't Dwell. Was just talking about how I was constantly dwelling in thoughts, and I really worried myself sick. And through my meditation practice, my mindfulness practice, I was able to let go of that worry state, the overwhelming stress. So when I just began with a 5-minute practice, and 3 months later I heard that voice in my head, and that's where I am today, is just in this place of peace.
Wow,
Wow, that's so wonderful, and I know that's going to resonate with our listeners, because there are so many people out there that do kind of marinate in that worry and in that stress. And I love the idea that you started with 5 minutes. I mean, it's something I hear a lot, you know, I don't have time, but 5 minutes, anybody can carve out 5 minutes. You also help people move to this place of peace and where all is well, correct?
Yes, and that's why I formed my company called Don't Dwell, and my website is don'tdwell.org. And on there, I offer a lot of articles, some services, some calls, some videos, just to help people, because I saw when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, I just felt so hopeless. I felt so alone. You know, constantly people were telling me that I'm wheelchair-bound in 10 years. Well, now it's been 11 years, and I'm not wheelchair-bound. I got my health back, so all that worry and fear wasn't real. It was an illusion, because I got my health back. So that's why I help people today on my social media, my Don't Dwell Inc., on my social media pages. And they can just find all my social media on my website at don'tdwell.org. And just ways out of the mind, ways out of the worry, ways out of the stress, ways out of the sense of lack that we're not good enough or that we don't measure up. And just working on all those belief patterns. Because I was constantly reading so much information, I established so many beliefs that had to be a certain way. Like with the mental illness, I was supposed to be not dependable. And with the multiple sclerosis, I was supposed to have trouble walking, difficulty with fatigue. All these stories I was creating for myself. I was really limiting myself. I was really taking away my life.
There's so much there I want to dive into on this call. So we'll start with a little bit. So when you're in that place where you have the chronic illness and people are telling you, you know, and I'm sure well-meaning, but, you know, this is what to expect because our medical, our Western medicine tries to prepare us. How do you, you know, that 5 minutes, how do you start with that initial practice to really move from the place where you're expecting the bad outcomes to knowing that everything's going to be okay?
Right. So what it was for me, when I read about meditation, one of the benefits of meditation was inner peace. I had no concept of healing at that time. I simply wanted inner peace. I constantly had all this stress and worry. So I just wanted peace. So that's how I began. So my mantra to go for it was, I deserve 5 minutes a day to myself. So that was my process of keeping me going for the first 2 weeks were very tough, because my mind was constantly telling me that I was wasting my time. There was better things to do than work on myself. So that five-minute practice that I deserve time to myself. Then what I saw through meditation was that I had thoughts, but I was not my thoughts. So meditation was bringing me back into this moment. And I can see how thoughts were always pulling me into the past or projecting a future. And it was just not keeping me here in this moment. So I can look at don't dwell as don't dwell, be present. You know, let go of the thoughts.
Nice, nice. I love that. I deserve 5 minutes a day to myself. I think everybody deserves a lot more than 5 minutes to themselves. So that's nice and something really accessible. I want to stay on that for a moment, being present in the moment. What sort of things do you find helps you kind of release the fears when we replay things in our minds or when we project things into the future?
Yeah, the whole point is just to be in this moment, and typically the thoughts are not in this moment. Like my thoughts were always, when I wake up in the morning, like, oh, what's going to go wrong today? Are my legs going to work? Am I going to be able to swallow? Am I going to be able to see? Am I going to be suicidal? You know, all these thoughts, I would wake up in the state of dread each morning, you know, another day, another problem. So it was just a matter of not being in this moment, of just waking up and just looking around and seeing that everything is fine. And it's just stories in the head. So the simple practices are just stop, look around, take a breath, and that's a simple mindfulness practice. Because when we look, or we touch, or we feel, all of our senses are always in this moment. So that's one of the whole point of mindfulness, is just engaging the senses whatever you're feeling right now, like the breeze in the air, the temperature, that's all mindfulness stuff. And it's very simple. You can do that hundreds of times a day. Just stop and feel your feet on the ground, or just look around when the mind starts really getting to that state of worry, state of stress, or creating those false fears. Because most fear is false. It's rare that somebody is actually going to chase you and cause you harm. Usually it's just the mind guessing, trying to connect the dots from the past into the future, and just skipping over this moment completely.
I like that. Nice. Nice. So you're saying just take time each day and just, you know, be aware when you catch yourself starting to mentally drift, just stop and ground yourself in the present moment. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. It's all about present moment and just seeing that the mind is mostly nonsense. Over 90% of our thoughts they've done research on are useless. They're pretty much in the past or guessing the future. Only 5%, 10% of our thoughts are actually solving issues and problems. Most thoughts are reliving the past moments, reliving that story that we have to be a certain way and that people have to behave a certain way.
And did you find that being in the present moment really helped connect you with your own personal story, as opposed to taking on the shoulds from your doctor, the shoulds from your family member, where you were able to really say, hey, this is me, and I'm better, or I'm doing okay, or I'm managing or coping or whatever word you use, you know, better than they said I would.
Right, because that's the thing with my bipolar and all the problems I had my bipolar. I took my doctor's word as like the word of God, like the absolute truth. And that just really kept me stuck, you know, with this mental illness label that I'm bipolar. I'm supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to behave this way. So I would adapt the stories of others as my own story. And that became very limiting. I never felt good enough. I always felt like I was lacking in some way and not measuring up. And when I got back into the present moment, I was able to see that these are just stories. These aren't the absolute truth. Because I can look around and I can see there are no problems here. If I really look around, it's just my mind creating these problems and issues.
Nice, yeah. And when you felt that you were not good enough, because I know that's a big issue that a lot of our listeners deal with, do you find that that came from other people's projections, as far as they just automatically discounted for whatever reason because of the mental or physical challenges that you faced?
Yeah, that's part of the problem, is that we have a very critical inner voice. This inner voice is constantly, because we're always constantly told no as a child, or that our grades aren't good enough. And these create belief systems that I didn't get an A, I got a B, so I'm not good enough. Or I did something, and I was told no. And so these become established. We don't even realize that we're picking up these subtle belief systems because of our grades, just our typical upbringing. We're just not aware that we're adapting these beliefs as the truth. And it's really just thoughts. They're not real.
So what encouragement would you give people that are listening to this that may be facing challenges in their life that they want to change, but they may be skeptical, or they may be, you know, concerned that it's not for them? What sort of encouragement would you give to those folks?
My encouragement was just keep an open mind. Just realize it's your thoughts, your belief systems that are causing the skepticism, the disbelief, the doubts, because maybe you tried something and it didn't quite work out the way you were expecting. But I don't really see anything as a failure. It's more feedback. Okay, that didn't work. Let's try something else. And it's constantly being open to new experiences and not allowing the mind to detour us, you know, creating all these distractions, and just taking that time for ourselves just to stop.
I like that. I hear that a lot too from entrepreneurs and from business coaches. It's not failure, it's feedback. I think if there's one thing that people can take away from the conversations I have with an individual such as yourself, is that would be it. You know, it's never failure, it's always feedback and information. So to get to the book for a moment, as you read the book, as we go through the book, it sounds like from that 5-minute meditation, your process really expanded and really kind of opened up for you. I'd love to hear how that process came about or how things started expanding for you.
Yeah, that's where it gets really interesting. Because after I heard that voice say perfect spirit, that was pretty much like my inner muse, my inner guide that was talking to me. So once I was able to quiet the mind down enough, I could hear that voice. And that voice was constantly guiding me, like, stop watching the news. You don't need all that fear element. It's just keeping these stories in place that you're constantly in danger. So it was constantly this inner voice that I call perfect spirit that was constantly guiding me, like, I need to drink more water. I need to change my diet. I just need to do these things. I need to do yoga to recover the body. All this divine wisdom was just arising up through perfect spirit. So I see now that everyone is a perfect spirit. It's simply the mind creating confusion, creating doubts. But everyone's true nature is the one who sees through the eyes, the awareness of the senses. That's who we really are. Because in this space of peace and stillness, before thoughts, there are no problems or issues. As soon as those thoughts arise, we don't see our perfect spirit anymore. We lost this moment. Now we're back into a story. So that's one thing that really helped me, was just seeing that everyone is perfect. Their spirit is perfect. They're just merely a little confused right now because of their mind, their belief systems. But that's not who they truly are. Our true nature is the one that who sees through the eyes, who doesn't judge, who doesn't have opinions, and is always still and just observing.
Wow, that is so powerful and so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that little bit, because that's truly amazing. And it sounds like to me that once you have that moment of stillness, that moment of being present, and once you hear that voice, it's a lot of it has to do with honoring yourself and honoring who you are in your own personal truth.
Exactly, yeah, our own personal truth. It's so hard to find that personal truth when the mind's always telling you these limiting beliefs that you don't measure up or that you're lacking in some way. It's very challenging, so we have to start small because that mind's been in place for so long, and to take back control. And that's where people really get confused too, like what's the inner voice and what's that mental chatter? And how do we tell the difference between the two? Well, the inner voice is usually loving, compassion. The mental chatter is usually filled with opinions and judgment, separation, division, harm. But this inner voice is always filled with compassion and love. This is unconditional love.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's something that's true regardless of what beliefs we have around it, call them spiritual, call them religious. At its core, it's all about compassion for ourselves and our fellow people and fellow creatures.
Right, yeah, just having that compassion for everyone else because they're also facing that mental battle, believing that their opinions, their beliefs are the absolute truth. You know, it's everybody's wrapped in their stories. And that's why we have so much violence in the world, so much crime, because there is no compassion. There's no awareness of that inner voice. They're just completely lost in their mind. They're going through like autopilot, just constantly reacting to the mind. And that's what you see in meditation, is that you can't stop the mind. The thoughts are always there, What we can stop is your reaction and responding to all those thoughts, of stepping back and say, is that thought really true? Is that really necessary to say that?
Yes, yes. It's the, you know, the only thing you have control of is how you react to different situations. It's that same kind of mindset, right?
Yeah, it's all that mindset. We can only control our reaction to the situation. You know, it's all that looking at that failure as feedback and just taking that as feedback and then adjusting, just constantly adjusting and getting out of autopilot that has those default reactions. Like when you see somebody, they make you angry. That's just a default reaction. What happens if you just looked at that person and say, he made me angry in the past, but today he's going to tell me a joke. You know, just a complete mindset shift there. It's like, this person's funny. He's going to make me laugh today, as opposed to anger. You know, you don't really know what's going to happen in the next moment. You're just guessing that person's going to make you angry. And it keeps you stuck and trapped.
And that probably has to do with the ways that we create our reality, because if we're expecting, like, that person to make us mad, there's a good chance we are going to get mad. But if we stop and think about a different reality, then it comes to pass for us, right?
Right, exactly. Because we are creating our own reality. Because all we're really seeing, everything is energy, everything is a light wave. On our mind is just interpreting what it's seeing. And who's to say that interpretation is the absolute truth.
Yeah, nice, nice. We've got about 10 minutes left, and I feel like we haven't really dived into the book. I mean, we've talked about it. For somebody who's picking up your book, what message do you want them to walk away with?
What I want them to walk away with in the book, because I shared a little bit of my story in the first two chapters, but after that is like all the practices that I did for my meditation, my mindfulness, my yoga. I have all these little simple practices that are in there so they can just find that practice that works for them. Because a practice that works for me may not work for you, but maybe there's another practice that will. So it's just constantly exploration. You know, what I take from this book is there's hope. You know, if I'm out of these belief systems that I'm stuck with my illnesses, I'm stuck with all this stress, I'm stuck with all this worry, maybe there's a practice in there that will help ease that stress, ease that worry. You know, learning to step back, learning that the mind can't multitask. There's all sorts of little practices in the book that maybe you'll see something that resonates for you. Because you can just read the book in a couple hours, and it won't really serve you unless you actually do those practices of taking back control from the mind. So that's what I really want to get from the book, is that you're not hopeless. Just keep an open mind and keep trying new things. Be a constant explorer.
Lovely, lovely. And one of the practices you talk about is journaling. And if my memory serves me correctly, you provide some jumping off points as well, both from your own thoughts and journal entries, as well as ways that people can explore the process as well in their own journals. Is that correct?
Yeah, because that's what I was seeing was when I was doing my initial meditation, I was told to just journal, but don't read it back. It's just ego dumping. But when I look back at my journals, they provided so much wisdom that I was just passing through, because this inner voice that I was having a hard time hearing because the mental chatter was so loud was coming through in my writing. So there was things I was saying in my journal that was like way beyond me. It was coming from my inner muse, my inner spirit, my perfect spirit. It was like, don't believe your mind. It's not telling you the absolute truth. It was giving me these little nuggets, and I was just missing it because I was just writing. I think I was just ego dumping, complaining about the day, writing about the day or my experiences. But within there was like a few lines once in a while that were just buried in there, like, this person's making you angry. But then it was seeing, just see that anger is just coming from the mind. Everything is fine. But these little nuggets were just coming through in my journaling.
Nice. And I really liked that, too, when I went through the book, because so often we are taught just to, you know, do our morning pages, do our journaling, and just kind of, let you know, get it out of the way. But when you review that and look at not just how far you've come, but also some of the messages that come through, it really makes journaling, to me at least personally, a more real, a more vivid experience than just dumping something on a page.
Right. Because you just never know what's going to come through once you can really relax in that space and just allow that wisdom to come through. And the one point with journaling is not to edit ourselves or say, I shouldn't say this. Just put everything out. You just never know what's going to come through. But then you want to read back your journal and just glance and just see if there's anything in there that you wouldn't normally say. If there's something in there you wouldn't normally say, look at that. What start to learn from that? What kind of feedback is your spirit telling you? It almost seems like there's two of us, our like soul and our mind, but it's really just the mind's just taken over, and the soul's trying to course correct, give you this feedback of saying, hey, your mind's a little off track here. You need to really do this and look at it this way.
Yes, nice. So where can people, because I do want to make sure we get this information out, and we'll post the links as well in the show notes, but where can people find out more about you and your work and even the book?
Well, the book, they can read like the first chapter on my website at don'tdwell.org if they're just curious about the book. Or they can go to my Facebook pages. I have a few Facebook pages. I have my Don't Dwell page. I have my Arthur page. And I have a Heal Yourself page. Then I'm also on social media with Twitter. I am Sam Shelley. You can find me there. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Google. I'm on Instagram. I'm every place. It's just trying to get my message out there that, you know, our true nature is at peace and at stillness. And it's just the mind telling you that you're not good enough or that you're not deserving, you're not loved. So I just provide all sorts of avenues for them to reach out to me if they want to work with me to help them undo their subconscious programming. Because that's basically what I do with my mindset work, is help people pull out those beliefs that no longer serve them. Maybe you're in a constant state of worry, and maybe there's something I can do to pull out that state that's creating that worry. Maybe you had a traumatic experience and you just haven't figured out how to get out of that experience.
Great. And the book, I do have to say, it is published through Jupiter Gardens Press, and it is available in both ebook and print formats through our website, through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all your favorite vendors. So, and again, we'll make sure we have those links in the show notes. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you wish I had, or any last messages you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Let's see, last messages. Just realize that they are enough and that you do deserve time to yourself. Just that little practice of just stopping once in a while and just looking around will just bring you back into this moment. Because most of the time we don't even stop and look around. We head off to our destination, but we missed all the little steps that we took to get to our destination. Because sometimes people will say, I drove to the store, but I had no idea how I got to the store. Because they were just so in their mind, they don't have any recollection how they actually drove. Because that subconscious has taken over, and their conscious mind is just living in their mental chatter, their stories. But I like to refer to the mental chatter as the cops in the head. They really create all these limitations, really pull out all the stress, all the worry, all the fear, and the mind really thrives in that state of fear. I mean, you can just look at all of our TV programming, all the news, how much of it's fear-based, and how that keeps us trapped in fear. But ultimately, it's not real. Yes, it's unfortunate that somebody got hurt, you know, or killed down the street, but it doesn't mean any danger is coming to you. You know, it's just we think if somebody got killed 1,000 miles from us, that we're in immediate danger. That isn't necessarily true. You just keep aware and just keep safe. You don't need to do all these confirmations that fear is real, because it's really not. It's the mind wanting to keep in control. And just having that compassion for yourself is that big thing. Is taking that time, that's 5 minutes a day for ourselves. Or if 5 minutes seems too much, take a 1 minute because they've actually done studies. If people sit for 1 minute a day, there's actual physical changes they've seen in the body after 3 weeks. So 1 minute a day can make profound differences in your health. So just these little steps, these little actions. You know, there's a saying that is out there, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So, you know, it's taking that single step each day. And that before you know it, you'll be at that 1,000-mile journey. But it's taking that action, making that decision. I need to take this step in this direction. I need to find the right action and not be constantly distracted by the mind. And we can only do that when we're taking that first step, the first step into exploration, that new area that we never thought or considered before, because the mind says, that's not for us. But how do we know, really know, until we try it? If we try it, then we can say for sure if it's for us or not. But I've had stories in the past where I wouldn't try certain foods because my mental condition was, I don't eat that. But now I try things like, oh, this isn't so bad. I can eat this. It's just those little stories. Just explore. Life is meant to be explored, not keeping us trapped, not keeping us limited. We're supposed to be expansive and constantly at play. And we can only do that when we're really fully in this moment. And there's all sorts of ways to get into this moment. And that book will show you 15, 20 ways to get back into the moment. And it's a short read, and there's a bunch of little practices. They probably seem too simple, but if they stick with them every day, they'll see differences.
Excellent. Such beautiful advice. I really want to thank you for taking time to chat with us here today. Thank you so much. It has been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Mary. It was a pleasure talking to you and your audience today. So blessings to everyone.
Great.
You are well. All is well.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Prosperity Power Hour with Mary Kilstow here on the Lifescape Radio Network. Welcome to the second half of the Prosperity Power Hour here on the Lifescape Radio Network. In the second hour, I want to talk about our business chakras and signs of either excess or deficiency in them. We are in the middle of the 7-day Prosperity Chakra Adventure over on the Prosperity Vortex website. You can still sign up. You haven't missed a thing. Just visit www.prosperityvortex.com and begin your 7-day adventure of learning more about your prosperity and business chakras. Before I go, you know I've got to give you the Jupiter Gardens Press Report. March is pretty much nonfiction month here at Jupiter Gardens Press. The long-awaited release of my book about the Vortex Oracle, which is a divination system designed exclusively for business owners, especially those with heart-centered or soul-centered businesses. That book should be released. I am aiming for mid-March, but of course, you know I'll keep you updated. We will also be releasing the accompanying Vortex Oracle card deck, as well as the Vortex Oracle Dice Oracle, because I know a lot of times you may be in a situation where you really can't spread out 2 or 3 cards or even shuffle a deck of cards, but going, you know, slipping into a quiet space and rolling a dice or rolling a couple of dice to get some results, that you usually can do. So we've got a couple of different versions of the Vortex Oracle because I want to make sure that you can access the Oracle in any way that you want. We also will be looking at releasing an introductory chakra book for entrepreneurs. I am hoping for the end of March. It may be a little bit longer, but it's definitely in progress. I'd also like to chat a little bit about Juno's Temple for Economic Development Incorporated, the nonprofit that I have started in sacred service to spiritual entrepreneurs. We have our business directory up and running. This is very exciting. I am so thrilled. There's a few kinks to work out with it yet, but basic free listings are there. So I encourage you to visit Juno's Temple and learn more about us and visit junostemple.org/marketplace. to get your free listing in our marketplace listing and become a free member of Juno's Temple. We're going to be rolling out some really exciting things over the next few months, and I really want to make sure you're a part of it. So I hope that you can grab your free listing and become a free member of our nonprofit so that way you can be in on the ground floor of this exciting development. we also are looking for board members and volunteers. For volunteering, it can be as simple as volunteering to send a few posts to your Facebook and Twitter feeds every week. The more news that we can spread, the better. We also will be looking for editors and for people to write articles for Juno's Journal, which will be launching in July. And as far as a board member goes, I am looking for 2 to 3 very dynamic individuals who are passionate about providing support to all spiritual entrepreneurs, and that's important. Support to all spiritual entrepreneurs, regardless of where they are on their journey, who don't believe in levels, that, you know, somebody who's charging more is at a higher level than somebody who isn't, because we are all equal and we're all on a journey, and each of us is at our own place in that journey. If you believe in that philosophy, I encourage you to reach out and talk to me about being on the board. Duties are very light. I understand you're busy, and so I don't want to take up, you know, hours and hours and hours of your time. But if you come to a few conference calls, if you can be as passionate as I am about spreading the word about this nonprofit, whose eventual goals will be to become a Kiva, so to speak, or a small micro lender to small entrepreneurs, as well as provide ways for education and learning, and basically be an incubator for heart-centered entrepreneurs, because so many heart-centered entrepreneurs are, I don't want to say not welcome, but aren't really served in our current small business incubator marketplace. If you walk into your local small business incubator and say, hey, I'm an intuitive coach and I want to help people with their spiritual practices, those people may be totally on board with what you're doing, but they may not know how to help you. That's my experience in talking to quite a few different small business people. And so Juno's Temple for Economic Development Incorporated is designed to close that gap, to be a place for heart-centered entrepreneurs. If you'd like to help, please visit junostemple.org and fill out the Contact Us form. I am waiting to hear from you. Now, let's talk about business chakras. I've spoken a lot about the energetic body of your business, and my free prosperity chakra call, and I'll be scheduling the ones for March, also offers additional information about the chakras of your business. But for those who may be hearing this for the first time, your business, especially those from us as a spiritual or heart-centered entrepreneur, has an energetic body of its own. And that makes sense. Let's be honest. You pour your heart, your soul, your brain power into your business. And when I say business, I'm talking about everything from being an author to divination, tarot readers, rune readers, psychics, intuitives, coaches, even craftspeople. Whatever you do to put the energy into your business, that creates that business. And that gives the business an energetic body. But much like our pets or children, once we bring them into our lives, they take on lives of their own and become their own independent beings. Our businesses do that as well. Our businesses become independent beings from us. They are not us. We are not our businesses. And because of that, they have and develop their own energy system. Just like our human energetic body has the 7 main chakras, your business energetic body has the same 7 chakras. And that's important. When I talk about business chakras or prosperity chakras or, you know, human, our own personal chakras, I'm talking about the 7 main chakras: root, sacral, will, heart, throat, brow, crown. The same 7 chakras that you may be already working with in your own personal life. So with your business, how do these chakras manifest their existence in a business? In a human terms, they come with health problems. Now, not necessarily bad, but if you have a deficiency or an overactive in your throat chakra, for example, that could come with thyroid issues, heartburn, that sort of thing. If you are overactive in your brow chakra, that can cause, you know, headaches. Overactive in your heart chakra has been known to cause, or underactive has been known to cause, heart issues. I'm not a medical doctor. There's many, many, many good works, such as Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life, that talks about the energetic interchange between any health issues we have in our energetic body or our chakras. That's not my forte. My forte is your business. And in your business, although your business can't have, say, like a stomach ache, it can have a weak output. It can have weak receptivity to the message. It can have issues that do directly relate to the chakras. And that's what I want to chat with you about today. So the root chakra, this is our grounding chakra. This is the chakra that connects our energetic body to Mother Earth. And the chakra of your business, your root chakra, also grounds and stabilizes your business. No grounding and stabilizing, no foundation, and your business feels all wibbly-wobbly and it doesn't work out very well. The root chakra is very much a survival chakra. Do you have, on the human level, do you have food? Do you have water? Do you have clothes? Do you have shelter? Do you feel safe? Do you feel cared for? Do you feel like you have a right to exist? In the business sense, your root chakra is, does your business feel like it has a right to exist? Or are you running around in imposter syndrome, feeling like, you know, who am I to be a tarot reader? There's so many more gifted people out there. Who am I to write this book? Well, that is a deficiency in the root chakra of your business, because when your root chakra of your business is open and connected and grounded, that brings you the feeling of, this is my knowledge to share. This is my gift to share. This is what I bring to the world. This is my unique ability. An overactive root chakra leads itself to egotism. You know, this is what I do. I am awesome. I am better than anybody else. And you're stupid if you go with anybody else because I am just that awesome. Now, I'm not saying to be self-confident. A friend on Facebook was like, you know, what would be your tagline? If you could make a personal t-shirt, what would be on it? And I jokingly wrote, you can't handle my awesome. Now, I'm not egotistical. That was not coming from an egotistical way, but just a, hey, I'm cool. And my friends know it, and, you know, we're all good and had a good chuckle. It was more an exercise to come up with the best tagline. So I'm definitely not saying to hide your light. Let your light shine, and we'll get to that actually with the will chakra. What I am saying is that when people become arrogant, when they become demanding, when they feel like they have a right to more than anybody else, that is a way overactive root chakra. Your sacral chakra is next, and that is located kind of about your navel. Your sacral chakra is all about connections. In people, it has to do with, do we feel connected not just to the divine or to something bigger than ourselves, but are we also connected to friends, family, communities, or are we cut off and isolated? In your business, it's much the same way. Are you connecting with other business owners? Are you doing your networking and your joint venture partnering? Or are you isolating yourself? Do you feel like you don't have a right to be in business spaces? That would be a deficient sacral chakra. If you go to a group and you think, oh, they don't like me, oh, I shouldn't be here, that's a bad sacral chakra. A overactive sacral chakra is much the same, or you're connected to everybody and you're addicted to those attachments and everybody needs to make you the center of the world because of your connections and you just have to be seen and heard and done by everybody. That is an overactive sacral chakra. It also has to do with your relationships. Are you cultivating healthy business relationships, not just with other entrepreneurs, but also with your clients? Are you setting boundaries? Or are you letting people take all of your power? Are you giving your power away? Working with the sacral chakra is really important for your business because it allows you to establish yourself and guard your space, which is something that I have talked about in previous episodes of the Prosperity Power Hour. Your will chakra, which is the solar plexus, this is your will to do work, but also your light. It is talked about a lot as the sun chakra for people as far as, do you let your light shine? Do you let your freak flag fly? You know, if you're a geek, do you let that go? Or do you say, hey, this is who I am, and I want to share this with the world? An underactive will chakra is a lack of self-confidence, a lack of belief in yourself, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. Overactive is too much self-confidence, again, arrogance. It is, to, you know, no fear, no doubt, to the point of recklessness. letting your light shine because you're standing and screaming at the world who you are. So that's a personal level. On a business level, your will chakra is very similar. Does your business have confidence? Does it feel like it can keep and maintain clients? Does it feel like it's got a good cash flow? Is your business too confident? Are you not changing with the times? Are you not innovating? Business needs to constantly innovate, even if you feel like you've got your niche and everything down. Is there confidence in the business? Is there no confidence? Again, those similar things to the personal chakras are also what happens with the will chakra of the business. More importantly, the will chakra controls the light or the presence that we have in the world. So if your business has a deficient will chakra, then it will not feel strong as far as wanting to be present, wanting to be seen, wanting to be out there. And if it's overactive, then it's too visible, too seen, which you may think, well, how can that happen? But it can when you actually have your business start dominating conversations and topics rather than being part of them organically. The heart chakra is the middle chakra between the three lower and the three top, and it is also the bridge between those chakras. The heart chakra deficient would be, in a human, would be lack of attention to life, lack of passion, being closed off, being isolated emotionally. And an overactive heart chakra loves too easily, too much emotions, wild emotional swings, too much, basically, with the heart chakra. In your business, the heart chakra would be the love of the business. Are you going through the motions, or do you really truly love what you're doing? When your heart chakra is deficient on the business side, it is, you know, no love of the business, not wanting to do the work, just, your will chakra is your will and your ambition, but your heart chakra is love, because you can have a lot of ambition, but absolutely hate what you're doing, which is not an ideal situation. And so when your will chakra is closed off or deficient, when your heart chakra is closed off or deficient, then you don't love what you're doing. You're doing it because you have to. When the heart chakra of your business is overactive, then there's too much emotional attachment. Everything that happens is a personal slight. Everything that happens is too emotional. And that is where there's no balance. There's no connection. It is simply too much or too little. Well, you want the heart chakra to be in balance so that way you love what you do, love that you're sharing the gifts. But also understand that sometimes business is business, and business decisions need to be made. Be willing to pull back when necessary to make those decisions. The lower chakras, although I call the root the foundation, in truth, if you look at the chakras as kind of like the number 8, the bottom half, your root chakra touches the ground and grounds you, and then the other ones bring that energy up into the heart. Bring that energy up from the ground or send it back down to the ground for grounding. They really are your foundation. And much like your chakras on the human energetic body, these chakras form at an earlier stage in your business. So you've got to get your foundation in place, you know, your website, your presence, what you're doing, who your client is, all of those how-to type questions that many entrepreneurs struggle with. Those are all answered by those lower chakras. And that's why it's so important to work with all of your business chakras, because you may feel as if you're good on the upper half of the chakras. And many people I know and work with are awesome on the upper half of their chakras, but their bottom ones always need more TLC. In fact, personally, I'm that way because of the time in your life when those chakras formed. And it works with your business. The time in your business's life when those chakras formed really makes it vital, vital, vital that you give it TLC and that you really work with and love those chakras. So let's move to the upper third. Your throat chakra is communication. How well do you verbalize yourself? How well do you communicate what you're feeling? How well do you speak? Are you eloquent? Do you stumble over words? How well do you get your ideas out? So on a business sense, that makes perfect sense, because your communication chakra is how well does your business communicate its ideas with the world? how well does your business chakra listen? How well does your business listen to its clients, to the people around you, to the people you work with, as well as how do you market, how do you spread your message to a wider audience? That is all governed by that throat chakra. And so a deficient throat chakra means muddled messages, lack of communication, lack of getting the message across, and an overactive throat chakra is talking too much and not listening. It is, you know, interrupting your clients. It is putting yourself out there, just ramble, ramble, ramble. That is an overactive throat chakra. So you want that to be balanced. You want to listen as much as you speak, if not more. You want to communicate your business's thoughts and concepts in a very clear and easy to understand way. And you want to have an easy flow of communication. You want people to feel like they can come and talk to you, as well as that they can come and listen to you, because that flow of communication does go in two directions. The brow chakra governs intuition. And this is the knowing. This is your hunches, your gut feelings. How well do you see into the future? And not just psychically, but how well can you read the signs? Can you watch human behavior, listen to what they say, watch what they do, see if they line up, make predictions on the future based on that? If the brow chakra is closed off, then you don't see as well, whether that is through simply putting together signs and things that happen in your life or a more intuitive psychic sense. If it's open, you're relying way too much on that sense and not enough on your other chakras and your other senses. You are making grand leaps and assumptions. You know, well, this person said this but did that. Obviously, it means this because this has all happened before, and you could be wildly off base. Wild accusations are a hallmark of an overactive brow chakra. In your business sense, that means then that the brow chakra of the business governs the business's knowing. And this is a multifaceted knowing. Obviously, there's intuition involved. There's some sort of psychic sense involved where you intuitively know what do you need to do. Do you have marketing ideas? Are you tuned in? Do you have marketing ideas kind of pop into your mind, or a blog post pop into your mind, or an offering, even an entire class, or even your entire branding? Do you have things just, boom, pop into your mind because of your connection to not just your business and yourself, but also to the divine? Or are you able to read the signs? Are you able to see, for example, what may happen? Are you a good judge of human behavior to be able to guess what will make the clients purchase from you? What will make your name resonate? Are you also able to watch the business signs? The publishing industry is a beautiful example of this, because the publishing industry has gone through such change and upheaval, just like the music and the movie industry, but this has happened a lot more in music and book publishing. Are you able to read those signs, see the direction the industry is going, and be able to adjust and remain nimble and profitable? Or are you kind of sideswiped by all the changes and left wondering why the hell you don't have any money? That is the brow chakra for your business, the knowing of your business. It's those three levels. And so when it's deficient, you don't see that, you don't have that connection, you feel like you're kind of in the dark and struggling. When you have too much of that connection, then you're not relying on logic, you're not relying on the other senses, on rational, reasonable thought. You're like, you know what, my tarot card said I need to, you know, dye my hair purple and fly to Tahiti tomorrow or my business is going to fail. You're like, you know, this is what's going to happen in my industry. I know it. And when you're totally wrong, you're like going, you know, why was I wrong? Why did that not go that way? So your brow chakra is that knowing, which leads us to the seventh or final chakra, secondary and third and other level chakras. Your crown chakra is your connection with the greater universe or with the divine. It directly feeds the energy from the earth all the way up through your body and out into the universe, the divine, the heavens, whatever terminology you want to use for it, the wider world. And again, it takes that energy from the wider world, funnels it down through your crown chakra, down through the rest of your chakras, through your root into the ground. So with the personal crown chakra, this is your personal connection with the divine. Do you feel connected to something wider? do you feel connected to a bigger world out there, or are you kind of stuck in your life and what you do and not really seeing how the things that you do impact the wider world, not really seeing the way that we all kind of ebb and flow and work together and that it really is a small world? No, I'm not going to start singing, but it is true. It is a small world. The deficiency in that basically is a spiritual crisis. You don't feel like there's a God, or God doesn't pay attention to you. You don't feel like there's a divine. And I'm not saying that if you're an atheist or a, you know, somebody who subscribes to reason that you're having a spiritual crisis. Not at all, because obviously there's no spirituality there, which is a different spirituality. What I'm saying is that if you were a deeply spiritual person and something happened, an illness, a death, a job loss, some traumatic event happened, and you suddenly find yourself questioning your faith, that is a closed-off crown chakra. If you are also one of those people that leave it up to God, don't do anything, you're like, God, I'll take care of it. I'll just lay on the couch and eat bonbons, and this will all work out for me. Then that's an overactive crown chakra. So your business, and this gets into pretty interesting philosophical grounds, really interesting, but to not retread anything in philosophy or politics for that matter, your business also has a crown chakra. Your business has a connection to the wider world, and that is, do you see how the work that you do connects with the wider world? What needs do you fulfill? How do you serve the world? But also, how do you help the world? How does it work out? Even if you're something like, maybe you sell funky vintage jewelry, and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not really filling a need. Well, you're helping people express their individuality. You're helping people connect with their sense of style. You're probably recycling if you're selling vintage stuff. You're, you know, being very careful with the earth as far as not producing more when we have plenty of things that we can recycle and reuse here. So there is a spirituality to just about every business. And it is, yes, tied into the owner's or the entrepreneur spirituality as well. But that crown chakra, really, if it is not deficient, if it is open and balanced, means that you are working in service of your clients and customers, not in a servitude way, not in a poor way, but in a way where what you feel at a heart level, what you're doing really helps your clients and customers. So a closed off crown chakra for your business means that you feel like you're working in a vacuum, that what you do has no impact on the world, has no connection with the wider world. And if the crown chakra of your business is wide open, then your business, you may feel that your business doesn't need to do anything because the universe will take care of it. Your business may feel like it's in serious service to the world when it may not be. It may be a service driven by egotism rather than a service based on love. There are many different ways that the crown chakra can manifest in your business. Because it is so personal and private, sometimes it can be hard to put into words. But it really does manifest that. So we have actually walked very briefly. I know I've been talking, you probably feel like forever, but I'm showing that we've got about 5 minutes left in today's show. And honestly, a half an hour is way brief to get into the chakras of your business and what they mean and how they handle your business. We've been talking about those seven chakras. Before we go, I do want to present you with some additional resources. My 7-day prosperity chakra adventure, where I talk about the difference between your prosperity chakras, your business chakras, and your personal chakras. That is free. Just sign up for that on my website, prosperityvortex.com. I'm working on some great books and oracles, hopefully for late spring, early summer release, also related to this topic. And I really want to talk to you about my Prosperity Chakra Angel program, because this is a monthly program. We have three different levels, ranging from a virtual interactive program with some group coaching work from me, all the way up to one-on-one sessions each month. And what we do, it's a very holistic program where I look at your chakras. I also look at some seasonal and astrological factors to really bring you the messages that are timely right now as far as what time of the year that we're in, what chakra is predominant during that time of the year, as well as what astrologically is going on, because every month and every year is different. And we talk about your business chakras and your prosperity chakras and how to tune into that message and maybe what lessons the universe has for us right now on this level. You can learn more about that at prosperitychakraangel.com or visit Prosperity Vortex, and I've got a link to it there on the front page. I really appreciate you listening to this episode of the Prosperity Power Hour. Our interview guest was Sam Shelley, and his information is available on the Lifescape Radio blog. We are the Prosperity Power Hour here on the Lifescape Radio Network. You can learn more about all the shows, including New Angel Radio and the Certified Angel Practitioner course, at lifescaperadio.com. Don't forget to listen to the other shows. They are all just absolutely wonderful. I'm your host, Mary Kilstow. Learn more about me and my work at prosperityvortex.com. Follow me on Twitter at Vortex Oracle. Join me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/prosperityvortex. And check out the Prosperity Vortex Living Group. We have new members adding weekly, and we really have a fun time hanging out and looking at Prosperity Vortex and what it means to really live in the Prosperity Vortex. Until next time, I look forward to talking to you, and may you always be in the vortex.
The quest for true spirit, the quest for freedom, the quest for freedom.